Today, finally joined by Dan Bespris. We have been discussing this for a while. We've made it. I'm awake, I promise. We are going to talk about Old Man Squad, Fantasy Basketball International. What's on the horizon for both of us? And we'll look at a few of Dan's guys, a few of his targets in fantasy drafts this season. Let's go balls deep.
I'm the type to get shit done. You're the type to observe. March Madness on my speakers, but today's November 23rd. Cause I'm loud in the blunt, yeah. I don't say what I want, yeah. Probably somewhere sunny and tan. Foreign women in the sun, yeah.
That's all that I need. That's all that I need. That's all that I need. Got my brothers with me. Got my brothers with me. And my mama's healthy. That's all that I need.
Welcome to the Balls Deep podcast brought to you by Fantasy Basketball International. I am Adam King. Find me on Twitter at AdamKing91. Find us on Twitter at FBI Basketball or go to the website FBIBasketball.com. Lots of leagues happening at the moment, including the Old Man Squad leagues. We are part of the Old Man Squad now. I do my promo here. Dan can promo it as well, but now he'll correct me when I bring him in if I'm wrong. Follow Old Man Squad on Twitter and Instagram and TikTok. TikTok. I know nothing about TikTok. Dan can tell me all about TikTok, although I don't think he knows much about TikTok either. At Old Man Squad on Twitter, at Old Man Squad on TikTok, and at Old Man Squad Fantasy on Instagram, I think. Let's see. I'm getting nods.
Yeah, I don't know anything about TikTok. And no. On top of that, Adam, I don't know what I did, but like I think I'm shadow banned on TikTok after a week because things I try to upload just don't even appear. And my buddy, who's like a little bit more tech savvy, but like understands TikTok, he was like, just stop for a minute. I got to talk to somebody I know. I'm like, okay, whatever. So the hell with you, TikTok. But yeah, the Instagram one works. So that's it.
And Twitter works. We all know Twitter works.
But yeah, good morning.
At the moment. Yeah, yes, good morning. I'll wipe the sleep away from my eyes. Look, we made it. We have been planning and plotting this show for a couple of weeks now. Dan postpones shows a lot. I'm not going to say you postpone the shows because we never actually lock in a date. So
that's my move is I just don't ever pick a time.
Pushing back the date. Yeah. We squeezed one in here. As people are probably aware, my show and Noah's show, we are now on the Old Man Squad network. B-Dub's working on some graphics with logos and things like that. So they'll be up in the next few days. And your listener leagues. So we're hosting them over on Fantrax and through our Discord server. I'm pretty sure there'll be a link in the show notes. B-Dub will throw that in. You've been plugging it on your show as well. That was sort of an idea that snowballed a little bit. I sort of raised it with you and thinking, oh, yeah, look, there'll be three or four leagues and I can do that. And then we got a lot more interest and it got a bit bigger than I thought, so I enlisted B-Dub because he's very good at doing all of that stuff. So he's set them up. It's all very fancy in our Discord server. And, yeah, look, I mean, they're fun. Like all of our leagues that we run, very competitive. There should be a lot of chatter. The World Cup is also about to start drafting. The FBI Old Man Squad Locked On Fantrax World Cup, where lots of sort of people involved in the developing of that. There will be a link in the show notes for this show for 25 spots in the World Cup, I believe. So B-Dub will put that in post-show as we're recording. I don't need to do it. So that's something else I don't need to worry about. So head to the show notes for this show because there will be links for both the World Cup and the listener leagues. But Dan, how are things? I know you're really busy, thanks.
No, man. So first of all, I love the way that you were just like, I don't know, there'll be some links in a. That's such a classic Old Man Squad way to deal with technology is just to wave your hands at it and go, some kid will deal with it. Yes. So yeah, it's that. So the partnership is an amazing fit. And like you said, you were like, Dan, you should host like a couple of listener leagues. And I was like, all right, I don't even really know where to begin. And then we put out that form and you came back and you were like, well, we're like at 12 now. Now we're at 20. Now we're at 20. I was like, you don't want to help with this anymore. This is bad. So the partnership kind of came together after that. And like, what I think I'm good at is not running a listener league. What I think I'm good at is broadcasting, podcasting, and then trying to help others sort of figure out how they fit in the broadcast podcast space. Yep. So like this partnership made a ton of sense. I can drive my listener leagues to a place that is extremely experienced at running them. And money is also raised for charity, which is a really nice side benefit from all of that. And then for you guys, an opportunity, at least on my end, to work with hosts that I know really well. I know you and Noah for a long time now, and I know your product. I know your shows. You've all been on my show. And I think there's a way for us to sort of push each show to kind of that next threshold. It just like, it made sense. I'm trying to think of the Yiddish word and I'm brain farting on it for a minute. I feel like I needed to throw that out there on Rosh Hashanah and I screwed it. But yeah, things are good. The run up to the season is lunacy. I've been trying to do two shows a day during the week. And so far I've been able to do it. And honestly, like, there are so many things to cover. I get done with most days and think, man, I really wish I had time to do three today, especially now that the Yahoo board just reshuffled. And so I got to go back and like redo about 15 or 20 old shows. Yeah. Good time of year. And I have to remind myself to actually get my own league situated because I'm so invested in content creation right now that I've like forgotten to commissioner my home leagues, but I'll figure it out. There's a ton of time left. There's 18 very long.
Someone
days
else will do it.
Yeah, that's right. Some kid will figure it out.
Yeah, no, it is. Well, yeah, the first game was earlier today, very early this morning. It was more of an exhibition game than anything else, but and it was in Abu Dhabi, I believe. I think that's where the Celtics and the Nuggets are playing. So, not really a lot to take away. There, we've had a couple of injuries, the trade, obviously. I mean, you've broken that down. I've broken that down. But are you still seeing Cat as the winner there, Josh Hart as a bit of a winner? Like, have you had time to sort of adjust any of your thoughts on that trade, given it's been a week?
Not really. I was talking to a buddy of mine who's from Minnesota, and he was sort of trying to walk me down the path of this doesn't make the Wolves worse. I'm like, okay, like from a reality standpoint, Julius Randle is a better power forward than Karl-Anthony Towns, just like from a fit side, because Cat is a power forward. Like he couldn't defend as a center, so asking him to defend as a power forward was always going to be a little bit of a mess. But fantasy-wise, it does kind of feel like Randle replicating what he did in New York is probably a best case scenario. DiVincenzo replicating what he did in Golden State is probably more of the expected scenario as opposed to like he and Jalen Brunson splitting 45 shots a night down the stretch last year. And then Kat just gets to do similar stuff, but at center. That's the win in all of this, is get him back to a place where he can rebound, get him back to a place where he is going to just tumble into a blocked shot because he's the last line of defense. Everybody help New York that he's the last line of defense. They're going to have to try to keep people out of the paint a little bit. But that's what you want. I don't know that is, because I've heard some people talking about his field goal percent. I actually don't think that's going to change that much because his shot profile didn't adjust a ton between his years at power forward and center, but his defensive activity did. More blocks, more rebounds, that kind of thing. So just, you know, bump him up the board a little. A guy that was sort of a safe 35 to 40 something range guy is now add a couple rebounds and 0.3 blocks or something, and he probably jumps up about a round in value. So long way of saying no real changes from my initial feeling. I gotta learn how to be more brief.
I think any show we do together could be called the not brief show, I think, because both of us have that issue. I was on I did a show last night, my time, with Puppy Roy, because we're doing the War Games, that idea that he's got about Team World versus Team Philippines.
Nice.
And so I'd never been on his show. And we finished the show and he was very thankful and appreciative. And I said, sorry, I spoke so much. I always talk too much. And I mean, no one ever responds and says, well, yes, you did talk too much and and I'd like you to scale back. He was very, well, no, they want to hear from guys that know what they're talking about. So,
well, there's like the host, the host seat has to be responsible for when they, because I try to have like an internal clock in my head. If I feel like I'm, and I know I do all the time, if I feel like I'm talking too much, I try to just jump to a new topic and kind of change the way my voice sounds. And if I have a guest, I try to just interject a question, even if it keeps them talking about the exact same thing, just something to change what people hear. But yeah, weird. In the words of the great Big Lebowski, not a fan of the whole brevity thing.
No. And I have that issue in my day job as well. I mean, I run workshops for families and I was, we've got an election coming up here, just a local election in the area that I live in. And the electoral commission kind of thing, they contacted me and they're setting up a, like a low sensory neurodivergent voting space. So for autistic people and those that just like a quieter space to vote. And so they wanted training for all of their volunteers and all of their staff. What do we do if this happens? How should we set it up? All these questions. And yeah, once again, I spoke far too long and a 90-minute session turned into a 2.5-hour session. Whoops. Very quickly.
There goes the day.
That was fine. Look, again, they were all very thankful and didn't seem to be bothered by the fact that I went into their lunch break. So it was okay. It was okay.
Yeah, at least not overtly bothered by it.
No, they didn't let me know. So yeah. So a couple of little injuries, I thought we'd just briefly touch on them. Nothing too significant. The Trey Murphy one is probably one of the bigger ones because he's a player that we're drafting. He's got a bit of hype. He's out for 3 weeks, which means he won't be good to go start of the season probably. Hamstring injuries, does that mean they ease him in a little bit? It's probably week 3 before he hits 100%. Does this change your opinion on Trey Murphy at all?
Yeah, it does. And for me, a lot of it is a consistency thing. I'm one of my most, my strongest tenets that I sort of base the way I play fantasy on is not drafting guys that are injured to start the year. And so he is, of all of these weird little injuries that keep popping up, he's the one where you can look at the timeline and say that takes him through opening day. Cause a lot of these other ones are like, yeah, we still have hope that JJJ is going to be there for the start of the season. And even the Kawhi one where Harden was like, we want him to take his time. And Kawhi was like, no, I'm hoping to play opening day. And we're like, what the hell's the other one? Somebody's out for 2 weeks. Who might think? Oh, Mark Williams has the reevaluation. Mm-hmm. All of those guys still have a chance to make opening night. So I'm trying not to move them yet. But Trey Murphy, unfortunately, it probably means I'm not going to end up drafting him because it's this phenomenon where it's like, I'm not trying to avoid him, but I'm pushing him down a couple of rounds. And so he's just generally not going to be there. Now, I'm in some weird draft where he's still floating around 2 rounds later than where he's going right now. Yeah, I'll take him, provided we get like a half decent update at some point in the next 15 days or something like that. But I probably won't end up getting him. And it's that phenomenon of like, I'm not saying don't draft him. I'm just saying draft him later. And there's going to be someone in your league that didn't hear me say that. And so then you just won't get him. Where do you stand on Trey? Are you still taking him at the same spot or are you pushing him down a little bit?
No, I think it's really unfortunate because I love his game and I think he's could have a really good opportunity this year. But I think a little bit like you, I'm probably pushing him down slightly, but enough or to the point where I'm probably not going to get him because someone will take a chance on him. Someone won't have heard the news that he's injured and so they'll just draft him anyway. I think I'm bumping him down a little bit. And to be honest, I think he was going too high in some drafts anyway. I think some people were reaching and taking him sort of 2 rounds ahead of Brandon Ingram and that sort of thing. And I get it, but I also, I don't know, Brandon Ingram, people just seem to think that he's done and he's not going to play very well and he doesn't want to be there, all that sort of thing. And I still think he can put together a pretty good season. And yeah, it's an unfortunate situation, and it's interesting because just going through in early season sort of injuries and tweaks and things like that, there seemed to already be a lot of hamstring concerns. Yeah. So that's, I don't know if that's something that we need to keep an eye on, but Rob Williams overnight, yes. he's got a hamstring. Nick Claxton, Jaylen Williams, not the good one. Trey Murphy, Jaron Jackson, Jordan Goodwin. Have we got any more?
I mean, these guys got to take pre-practice stretch more seriously. Mm. That's my takeaway. Really do the stretch. Don't just pretend to do the stretch. I'm going to do like the Herbert character from Family Guy. Make sure you stretch out those creamy hamstrings. What are we doing here, guys? You can't get hurt on the first day. But so I got to go back to my other thing. So my big issue with this drafting injured guys to start the year is that you end up in this, like if you draft the injured guy, you end up in kind of like a negative feedback loop almost. And alternately, if you draft a healthy team, you can kind of end up in a really nice positive one. Because you want to get out to that fast start. For one, it opens up things like stashing. It opens up the sort of opportunity for if your team has an injury stretch during the year, you can weather it. Whereas you start the year with some injured guys and you take losses right out of the gate, you kill off all of your wiggle room, all of your margin for error. And I just, being at the top of the board, this is more so, I think, in head-to-head than Roto, because GameScap Roto, you just want to play your like top nine guys to start the year and see how everything falls first. But head-to-head, you got to get those wins early. And so it allows you the patience with some of your guys that maybe get off to a slow start, because those zeros, man, they will just bludgeon you every time. So that, I think, is maybe more the explanation on why I'm not going to do it. And like draft really close to the start of the year, too, because these might not be the last injuries we get in the next couple of weeks. It's annoying. No. It's true.
Yeah, I mean, we haven't even... Well, there was one game, but we haven't really played a game yet. Players are injured. So, we're going to get some injuries over the next 10 days as the preseason rolls through. And that's sort of, I guess, a little bit why I just don't draft Joel Embiid, because I feel like he's just injured all the time. I know he's technically not listed as injured, but I doubt he's 100%. And I just think his knee has to be running at sort of 80 to 90% at best.
Well, I didn't mean to jump in on you. He wasn't moving all that great at the Olympics. He looked pretty good the last couple of games, but that's just because he's so damn gifted offensively. He's a tough one, man. I don't know if I can take him in head-to-head leagues. I'll definitely take him in GameScap Roto and just try to pile up that, you know, top two kind of per game stuff. But head-to-head, he's that guy where if he goes down in November for 5 weeks, your season might just be done. And that's a crummy way to play fantasy. It just like there needs to be, I know I'm always the guy that's preaching boring, boring, boring. It doesn't need to be fun. The fun is when you collect your friend's money at the end of the season, but I want to still be playing in January. That's the threshold for me of the, like, if I can be the fun police, I will not police your fun if you want to have your season still alive in January. And so if you're debating between Jason Tatum and Joel Embiid, and you want to make sure your team's alive in January, you go Jason Tatum. I'm totally fine with that because Embiid on the head-to-head side is absolutely terrifying.
He is. Yeah, I've never really drafted him, and I don't ever see drafting him. And I'm okay with that. But Puppy Roy and I spoke about this last night. Make sure you're in multiple leagues. Don't just go in one league. You don't have to go in as many leagues as some of us do. I think he said he's in 26 leagues.
That's too many.
I'm in about 12, I think.
I think that's around where I'll be.
And a lot of them are slow drafts. Slow drafts actually start today. My first one starts in 4 minutes.
There you go.
I'm not picking till 8 or 9 or something. So that could be tonight, my time.
You may be sitting there looking at Joel Embiid, and at least now we know what you're going to do.
I am not taking Joel Embiid, no. No. Someone actually messaged me yesterday and said, I've got pick 5. Do I take Embiid? And I had to think of a really nice way to say, hell no.
nah.
Which I think I ended up just saying, hell no.
Yeah, you might, that's nice enough.
Yeah.
You don't have to worry about offending the other person, and it's not Joel Embiid on the other end of your direction.
It is not, no. Okay, so we had to come up with something to talk some basketball stuff, well, which we have anyway. So let's talk about some targets. You've come up with a list of about four or five of your targets based on, as you said, the board has shuffled a little bit. But take it away. Who are a couple of your guys?
So I'll just list all five, and that way you can decide how much time you want to spend on each of them.
Right.
My five guys on the new Yahoo board, and he wasn't actually on my board before, but Kevin Durant is now on my board because he fell a bunch, like almost a round at the beginning of this thing. I think he fell 9 slots at the beginning of a draft, and that's a lot. I know that there is some fear with KD because he wasn't particularly good down the stretch last season, at least from a rank standpoint, because the overall numbers were still fine. But a lot of that was free throw volume, which I'm less worried about, and percentages. And I'm inclined to believe that the percentages get back where they need to be, because he shot like 81.5% at the foul line the last 2 months last year. And that's just not KD. He's a 90% free throw shooter. That's not about to change. He had a down free throw year. He shot sub 50% from the field those last 2 months last year. And again, you know, maybe there was some nagging injuries, didn't want to drive as much, little things that added up. But now that he's going in the second round, the ability to get a guy who has in his career basically been an 8 out of 9 category guy is incredibly rare. So now KD's on my board. I wasn't supposed to go into a long explanation on this. And the other four guys are Freddie VanVleet, Tobias Harris, D'Angelo Russell, and Chris Paul. Again, I jumped the gun with my explanation on KD, but I don't know. Where should I go?
Well, let's go VanVleet, because I think we briefly touched on him off air and just talked about the fact that he's always down. He's always overlooked. He's always underdrafted. He's always going in the 30s or the 40s and ends up being a top 20 player. Is it because of the field goal percentage and the lower points?
Like it's gotta not be a points. It has
yeah, he's not
points.
Not a 26 point scorer, 24. He could be 17. He could be 18. And I think that does people gravitate, as we know, towards those guys that are going to get you. Can go off for 40 points and all these flashy games and flashy moves and that sort of thing. Like Ja Morant, I would assume is probably going ahead of Fred VanVleet in a lot of drafts. I'd absolutely take Fred VanVleet over Ja Morant personally.
Yeah, 100 times out of 100. And, you know, there was sort of this, there's a few things about VanVleet. Number one, you're 100% right. The points, the low scoring is why no one will take him earlier. And, you know, I get it.
Points.
Like, yeah, get him in another round. he is the lowest scoring player ranked inside the top 20 last year. And it's honestly not that close. I think Porzingis and Tyrese Halliburton at exactly 20 points per game were the second lowest, and Freddie VanVleet was at 17.5. Yeah. But 2.2 defensive stats, over 8 assists per game, 86% at the foul line, over 3 threes. He actually, his field goal percent was better, believe it or not, last year at approaching 42%. And everybody knows I love this. He is an assist to turnover guy. Yeah. 1.7 turnovers per game on those 8 assists. Those types of guys open up another world of team build, because normally if you're hunting assists, you also end up with a team that's just dog-do in turnovers. And so I think a lot of the, like, hunting scoring, hunting assist teams in head-to-head end up just going, you know, the hell with it on turnovers. But guys like VanVleet, first in the first round, Halliburton, who I'm not super high on, but he has that same kind of appeal. These guys allow you to draft scorers or turnover guys or whatever farther down your draft and still be somewhat competitive in that category. Because think of it this way, you know, if you have a really, really, really good assist team and there's another really, really good assist team out there, if you have the assist to turnover guys, one, maybe two of them, you probably beat that team in turnovers in a playoff battle. And you're going to need that stuff when the sort of 1 week to determine everything comes around in head to head. So, I mean, I get it. He doesn't score. And it's harder to find points the farther you go down the board, but you can get him. And eventually the other teams that are drafting a ton of points, they're probably going to have to take a guy that doesn't as much. I love Freddie VanVleet. Sometimes the math just tells you, you got to do it. And I think he's one of those guys. He might be my favorite pick in the draft. It's possible. Yeah. He might be my number one target.
Yeah. Yeah, I think so. And we look at, obviously there's some question marks in terms of Houston's rotation and their depth. They've got a lot of guys there, a lot of mouths to feed now, but VanVleet is not one of those players where there are any question marks. I don't think his role is pretty set. They need him on the court. He runs that team. So nothing is going to change really from last year to this year in terms of opportunity and minutes and playing time. So,
and he only took 14 shots. He only needed 14 shots a game last year to be inside the top 20. I don't need like a big usage spike out of him or anything.
No. And I mean, in theory, as the talent around him improves and gets better, his assist numbers in theory could go up.
But I don't even need him to.
But we don't need them to. No, we don't. Tobias Harris.
Boring.
You're probably if he had a fan club, you're probably the president of that fan club. tell us why.
So what I'm doing right now is, for anybody that's really good with Photoshop, I'd like you to please Photoshop a Tobias Harris flag into my hand that's just waving back and forth. And then you can just put me in a Tobias Harris fan club room alone holding the flag. he's incredibly boring. He was 17 points, 6.5 boards, 3 assists, a steal, 0.7 blocks. He was like, and I talk about this on my show a lot, if you have a player who is dead average from a fantasy standpoint, in all 9 categories, you have someone inside your top 75, which seems crazy, but it's true. Like, if you have a guy who's just not hurting you anywhere, that's a top 75 fantasy asset. And that's basically Tobias Harris plus good turnovers, good free throw, and he's not a terrible rebounder. Put a little bit more sauce on that for this year, because he's not going to have to defer to Embiid and Tyrese Maxey, and instead he's going to be like, wait, you want me to defer to Jaden Ivey? And then in that moment, he might be like, you know what? I'll just take this shot. It's a phenomenon that I've referred to it now as Valanciunitis, because he was on a team last year where he had guys to defer to, and now he's going to a team where he doesn't really. But that's the story with Tobias Harris. Even if he doesn't do more, what he did last year in 9 cat was top 50. And I know that it's lower in 8 cat, so don't nobody get on my case about that. But give another shot per game, 1.5 shots per game. It's not a lot, because he's pretty efficient. And you're talking about a guy that could push 19 points and 7 rebounds, and maybe you get extra half assist or something like that, and 0.2 three-pointers or whatever. So you just get these like little incremental improvements in 4 or 5 categories, and he goes from a late fourth to an early fourth or something like that.
Yeah.
I think there's a very real shot that Tobias Harris is ranked around number 40 in 9-cat this year, and he's going in the 60s sometimes later if you're in a more public draft. I'm all about it. Super easy, just, you know, opposite field single kind of fantasy draft pick.
Yeah. Yeah, and I think some people would go, well, he's playing for Detroit, and we know that they lean into injuries and they're going to rest people. I like what Detroit have done. I'm hoping this year they're going to at least try and be competitive to the point where they're playing these guys in January, February, and not rolling out a squad of no names or anything like that. So I think
Metu playing 42 minutes a night in the
hopefully we don't see that. Time will tell. But no, I like Tobias as well. Now, who was your next guy? You have to remind me. I've forgotten. It's too early.
Let me go back to the board and see who I highlighted in green here. This one, D'Lo was my next one.
Yes.
I'm not happy with the fact that Yahoo bumped him up 10 slots, but I have to overall be satisfied, because he actually opened the first Yahoo board at 58. That was back in early August. And they dropped him 20 slots, and I thought, jackpot. And now they bumped him back up 10. So in my mind, I'm just going to be like, no, he opened at 58 and now he's at 68. So I have to feel okay with that. But everything out of Lakers town is suggesting that they realize he's a very good regular season fit for that team. And I don't care that he's probably going to poo his pants in the playoffs, because teams are going to target him on defense. In the regular year, there are like two teams in the NBA that play defense. So I ain't worried about that. He was actually a top 40 nine cap player the second half of last year. And look, I know LeBron is a cyborg, but they don't want him playing 36 minutes a ball game if they don't have to. So I think D'Lo is top 60 without anything really changing this year. And then there's a chance the upside for him is if the Lakers get off to an okay start, like if they're not sub 500 after 20 ball games, then they can start to dial LeBron down just little bits, you know, winnable games. You can rest him more. Games that are less competitive, you can rest him more and lean on Reeves and D'Angelo Russell and hopefully Anthony Davis. So I think D'Angelo has a floor of like 65 and a ceiling of 40. And I'm grateful that he is lower on the rank board now than in early August, even if they're sticking a needle in me over the last week.
Yeah, and I think from what I've heard, I mean, you're more sort of in tune with the being over there with the, all the Lakers, the talk, and what's coming out of training camp. Everything sounds really positive for D'Angelo Russell this season, that he is the starting point guard. Last year, there were question marks over, does he come off the bench? How many minutes is he going to play? It all sounds like it's geared towards him not owning that team, because it's LeBron's team, obviously, and Anthony Davis is there, but he's going to have the ball in his hands a lot more, and he's enjoying working with JJ Redick. Yeah. So, yeah, that's everything like is pointing towards
a good totally scene. Totally. What you've seen is what I've seen, which is that it's like an all vibes scene in Lakers Town right now.
Yeah.
And D'Lo, again, even with the poor Darvin Ham vibes. Second half of last year, last 40 games, he averaged 20 points, 6.5 assists, a steal, almost 4 3-pointers a night on 44.5 from the field and 87 at the free throw line. It was a really, really good second half.
Yeah,
that had him ranked right next to James Harden on the board. And obviously Harden's got a little bit of a different role this year, but like D'Lo was in there with some real studs the second half of the season. And he is not getting drafted like them. I mean, here's a better example. Dame, second half of last year, was number 33 on 23-7 on worse field goal percent than D'Lo, fewer threes than D'Lo. D'Angelo Russell damn near outperformed Damian Lillard the second half of last year. He's never going to catch him in the free throw thing. But like the other stats were relatively comparable from January on. And again, I'm not saying that D'Lo is about to be like a second rounder, but fourth rounder, very much within his reach.
Yeah. And yeah, you said his ADP his rank on Yahoo, it's shuffled a little bit, but his ADP has him in the mid 70s. So yeah, for a guy that you can get, I think he is starting to pop up on people's radars, probably thanks to people like you who are talking him up.
My bad.
That's all right. Your last guy.
So this one is more of a legacy appearance. I had to get one like extraordinarily old dude on this list. And I waited. This was me biding my time, by the way. Oh, did you see, by the way, Adam, that in the Yahoo board shuffle, and I'm gonna tease Dan Titus about this because he's coming on my show in like a half an hour. That they bumped Brooke Lopez down by 34 slots. And then overnight they were like, whoa, 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 whoa. And they bumped him back up 22 when no one was watching. They snuck Brooke Lopez back up the board. So if that was going to be, Lopez was going to be my, my legacy member here, but they shuffled him back up a little bit. So it's Chris Paul who I have to admit, I was way off on where I thought he was going to be pre-ranked, because during the offseason, I was like, I think everybody's pretty much over this dude. He's ancient, old as dirt, breaking down, all that stuff. I thought it would be wild to see him with a pre-rank inside the top 100. And then he was pre-ranked around 90 when it opened up. And I thought, damn it. Like, I thought I could get him a little later than that. And I waited and I waited, and Yahoo put out their second board. And he was 95. All right, we're getting a little closer. And then this week, they dropped him outside the top 100. And I know that it's a stupid barrier and it's arbitrary, but suddenly now I can get Chris Paul in the ninth round. And that is a risk I'm willing to take, because I don't need his field goal percent to come back for him to hit this mark. He was number 97 last year on a Warriors team that used him sometimes, mostly when Draymond was suspended. But when Dre was healthy, Chris Paul didn't have much of a job on that team, and he was slowly phased out as the year went on. But give him high 20s in minutes. His body's not going to take 30-plus in San Antonio. And a 9'11" center to play with. He's gonna get some assists, and he's gonna get some steals, and he's gonna take a shot profile that he wants instead of what the team wants him to do. That's what went wrong in Houston too. They're like, you gotta take threes, and he was like, but I don't know how to make these. I think he's gonna do what he wants because this team basically, like, the reason he would sign on to go to an up and coming team like this is because someone said, you're the general. And he was like, great, that's what I want to do. So, 10 points, 7 to 8 assists, a little over a steal. That's all I want out of him. But that's a 75 to 90 range kind of guy. And now we can get him outside the top 100. So, like, not a world beater kind of season for Chris Paul coming anytime soon. And he's going to miss 15 to 20 games because he's not as old as me, but he's chasing me down and his body breaks down about as often as mine does. But he's better than 100 and whatever, 102 that he's at now. So legacy member of the Dan Bespris Old Man Squad, Cliff Paul. Yeah, I said it.
And he's another one like Fred VanVleet that doesn't turn the ball over. One of these guys that assist to turnover is very good, always has been. That's always been one of his strengths. So that's unlikely to change. And I think we're going to figure out pretty quickly that the Spurs, I mean, they're on in that discussion as a team that could make the play-in if everything goes to plan and everyone sort of hits their ceiling.
I think they're going to lose a lot of close games this year.
Yeah.
I'm going out on a limb. Like, they're going to be very competitive until the 4-minute mark of the fourth. And then it's going to be like, can Wemby save him? Like, a lot of the time he will, but a lot of the time he's going to chuck a running 3-pointer and they're going to lose that close game. So they're a lot better, but I don't think they're getting, they might make the play. And if they could jump to the Eastern Conference, wonder if they can petition for that.
Yeah. Yeah. They should petition for that. Shouldn't they?
They'll be fun. I think they're going to be fun to watch. And I think even Chris Paul, who everybody hates, it'll be fun to have him getting these other guys the ball in the right spot. But this is too, Adam, and I don't want to monologue too long. This is why I end up with a lot of punt points teams, is because I take a guy like Freddie VanVleet and I'm like, well, I have two paths I could walk here. I think I'm going to be a pretty good assist team, and I think I can keep my turnovers low. The only way that explodes in my face is if I hard target a scorer who's coughing the ball up a lot. Cause those guys tend to, the only scorers left once you get past like the fifth rounder guys that have kind of miserable turnovers. So I just go the other way. I take assist to turnover dudes. I take guys like Draymond Green who get rebounds and assists and steals and blocks. And his turnover is not great, but like I had VanVleet as my third rounder. So my turnovers probably aren't that bad yet. And it just flips the board. It's the thing you can punt that changes the board the most, I believe, because all these guys that are scoring in the 20s, you need a couple of them because you need to make sure your percentages are impacted by volume guys. But like, you don't need any of the other ones. You can just dodge half the names in the first 60. People get intimidated by it because they're like, oh no, but I don't want to. These guys all seem really boring. And yes, I'll admit it. When I finish a fantasy draft, I often look at my team and think, woof, this team sucks. But it's because none of them score. It's not exciting. I'll give you that. But man, it wins a lot easier in Roto because you're relying on percentages and head-to-head. They could just let you down in a playoff week. But that's why I love punt points so much, because you got these point guards who really rocket up the board in value.
Yeah, and I think like for me, and I'm assuming I'm not alone in this. When I look at a box score from an NBA game, the first thing I look at is points.
Yeah,
who scored 20 points? Who scored 30 points? That's what I gravitate towards. My fantasy hat or brain then also goes, okay, I want to look I don't want to look at points. I want to look at everything else. But a lot of people do just look at points. And so when you look at Fred VanVleet and you go, oh, he only got 12 points on 3 of 9 shooting, well, that's not a good fantasy player. No. We know otherwise, and anyone that knows their stuff knows otherwise. So, no, look, well, that's a good list of guys, a good mixture of old dudes and fan favorites.
Kind of old dudes.
Yeah, they all fit the profile of being an old dude despite not being an old dude. And let's be honest, none of them are old dudes compared to us.
But that's why I'm picking up on TikTok, though. So
that's why some other kid does all the work for me. I just record and then everything else is done.
Yeah.
So I'm going to let you do some plugs quickly before I let you go and get ready for your next show.
Well, that was what the beginning of the show was. We plugged the fact that Old Man Squad and FBI are hanging out. We're sort of scratching each other's backs right now. It's a beautiful thing. Everybody knows, just find me on Twitter, at Dan Vesperus. That's the sort of hub. Old Man Squad is the network. Again, the YouTube feed is going wild these days. But also, here's the curtain pullback. Your favorite podcast host, be they me or someone else, we all make more ad dollars when you listen to the audio version than the video versions of things. So if you have some time, listen to the ads on the Spotify or the Apple one, because that'll help your friendly neighborhood podcast host. But yeah, Old Man Squad, Dan Vesperus and Kingy sitting across from me there. Just hang out with all of us all the time.
That's right. We've got a lot to say. If you're willing to listen, then we'll have a good time. I heard you before we jump out. I heard you say on, I don't know, it was one of your episodes, I can't remember which one, but and I remember you used to always do this. You don't do it as much anymore, but you used to, when you were talking about find me on Twitter and Dan Vesperus, you used to spell out your name
because you said
people would get it wrong. And you mentioned on one of the recent shows that people would think it's Babri. It's like a French thing. Like, I've looked at your name and never thought that until you said it.
And now in my head,
I always think of Dan Babri.
I appreciate the culture that I like when people want to like culture me up a little bit. No, it's Yiddish. Vesperus. Yeah. Dan Vesperus.
And I always thought it everything. Was that.
My wife has gotten Dr. Bieber at the hospital. That was a fun one. Brespis, people move they transpose the R to the first half of the name. It's a very common one. I know we got to end this thing. But I got a sponsorship with El Pollo Loco, which I have no idea if you know what that is. There's no reason for you to. It's sort of like a fast-ish food, chicken, mostly chicken restaurant. I believe it's national in the United States. And I had a sponsorship with them when I worked at the Bakersfield Blaze. They sponsored something in the ballpark, or they had like a banner in the concourse, and they fed the media once a week at the games. They sent these gift cards to Deborah Desbris, and no one in the office ever let me live that one down. So I became Deb Desbris from that point on. So if you'd like to call me
fair
that,
enough too.
And Dan Debris is a fun one. I like Dan Debris.
Yeah. You know, okay.
Rolls off the tongue.
Yeah. I can see the debris. Yeah. Okay.
Also, when I was a handicapper, the guy that ran pregame told me to go by Dan Beebe because people who bet are crazy and they didn't want anybody coming for me. So that was another of the pen names, but I'm not trying to go by these other names. It's desperate, but if you call me something else, I'll respond to it.
I've never had that issue. My parents gave me a very boring name. My surname is a very boring name. So yeah, I don't have exciting stories like you.
Adam Kick.
Yeah, you can't get it wrong. I don't think.
I know it's impossible to screw it up.
It is. All right, well, I'm going to let you go. That will, I think we've talked enough. remember all the stuff we did at the top, Twitter, Spotify, follow us, follow me, follow Dan, follow at Old Man Squad, follow FBI Basketball. I am Adam King. He is Dan Vesperus. This has been the Balls Deep Fantasy Basketball Podcast. Until next time, catch up.
You just listened to another episode from the Fantasy Basketball International Podcast Network. Thanks for joining us. And for more information about joining our community, please check out our website at fbibasketball.com.